Father, we ask in Jesus' name that your word may be a blessing to us, that your spirit would be at work. We take great solace and peace in our hearts to know that you will accomplish what you set out to do with your word. At the same time, Father, may your word be brought in such a way as is clear, faithful, and engaging to your people unto your glory. And may we receive it in kind, Father, unto your praise. We pray that you'd accept our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. So, because it is the beginning of a new year and the first service that we have had in the new year, we're looking at a passage that helps us to look forward. It's from Philippians chapter 3, and it's verses 12 through 16 that we're reading. The title in the ESV Pew Bibles is Straining Toward the Goal. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. I know all those small little letters there in the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's where you find this passage today. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. This is the word of the Lord. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So we thank God for this portion of His Word. May it be a blessing to us. May it be a blessing to us today. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the time of the year for many that there is a sense that something has been completed. I've talked to different people in different situations in which they find themselves, and they say, yes, it's been a time for us where I've been able to complete a semester's work, or I've completed a housing project or more. I've been able to get certain assignments done before the year's end. And there are still some things that some people anticipate as the new year is undertaken. Some people aren't finished with their first semester's work in school, and we get that. But oftentimes at this time of the year, it's a time where you feel like something's finally been finished. But whether we're finished with a semester of work or not, or whether we're in the middle of a project or not, we get the sense that we are in the middle, that when we are in the middle of a task or a course or a season, that we can't just stop. We have to move forward. We have to press on. We can't go back. We need to move forward. And if we don't, we're not going to reach the goals that we've set. Whether it's finishing that project or finishing a semester, finishing a course, or finishing whatever it is that we've set out to complete, because we've been on this journey. We've finished another year. And we've entered into another one. Finishing another year, of course, it isn't quite like finishing a project or a semester. We don't get that same sense of accomplishment because we've just kind of been carried along with time. But one of the things that the end of the year has caused us to do is look ahead to a new one as we enter into it. One year ends, but another one begins. Time marches on, and we, as long as we have been given life on this earth and breath to breathe, we find ourselves called to march along with the time. And in one sense, there isn't a single human being that's living today that can avoid that. In that sense, we all have to press forward into the future because we're kind of carried along with the tide. We sung that earlier, time, like an ever rolling stream. We're in that stream. But for those who are called to Christian faith and hope and love, the press forward into the future carries goals that make the temporal march of time forward more significant, more meaningful. A lot of us like to set goals for the future. And I know we do this all the time. And I find how many times don't I find when I get to this time of the year that I talk about the fact that, well, people are going to make resolutions. Well, you do. Not everybody does, but a lot of people do. They say, well, okay, now I'm going to be convicted. I'm going to do this, this, and this. We set goals for the future. Set goals for the year. And they might be of various kinds. It might have to do with habits we want to break or things that we want to stop doing as much. Or maybe they're more, you might call them more productive things. You know, you've got vocational goals. You've got academic goals that you want to reach. You've got financial benchmarks and milestones that you might want to attain. Or you might have certain relational goals or even marital plans and goals in mind as the year starts anew. And yet we ought not to view our future without viewing the Scriptures, if we do that, and how they call us to view our future and our goals. And so this morning we're reflecting on these words from Philippians 3:12 through 16, where the apostle is talking to us repeatedly about pressing on, straining to the goal that God has established for us in Christ Jesus. God, after all, has a goal for us. And he talks about that earlier in this letter when he says that when the apostle says, he who began a good work in us is going to see it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. We have our goals. God has his goals. His everlasting big picture goal is to be our goal. As we're setting our goals for our future and as we're hearing his call of following in his path. And as we're called to faith to live a life worthy of the gospel, we're called to press forward in this passage to the goal that the Lord has set before us. So how can we pursue that goal and that? And what does that look like? Well, there's three things, surprisingly, right? But although tonight I've got four things, so it's not always three. But we have three things to think about. The fact that the goal is necessary in the pursuit of it, it's heavenly and it's mature. And so we want to look at those three things a moment this morning, and I hope they're a blessing for you as we do that. Pressing on to this goal is a necessary one. There's a straining that's going on. The words are mentioned twice. Press on. Press on implies urgency, a persistence to reach your destination. Paul likens the Christian life here to a race that's in mid-course. If you're a Christian, you are in mid-course in your journey. Wherever you are, that's in essence where you're at. You're in mid-course. You're not at the end. You're not at the beginning. You're in mid-course. And he views all Christians then living out their lives as those who are in the middle of their project. They haven't finished the semester. They haven't finished the course. There's a need to press on because we're not there yet. And you're not going to finish the course if you stop. And if you're content to merely look back on what you've done, and you rest on what you've done, and you say, you know, it's 2022, and I've had enough. I quit. No, there's yet more work to be done before the project's over, before the semester's over. More ground to cover before I finish the race. It isn't the time to stop running and studying. It's time, it's necessary to press forward. See, the apostle realizes the time. He says, you know, not that I've already obtained all this or I'm already perfect. He realizes that glory is yet to arrive and perfection has not yet set in for him. Oh, there's no doubt that that he's been justified by Jesus Christ through faith. He's just been done talking about that and not by anything that he's done. And so that God views him with pardon and also as if he has done everything perfectly through the righteousness of Christ. For that is where his confidence is. But while his status with God is on good terms, thanks to the righteousness of Christ, glory and perfection have not arrived. He's still in the middle of the course. He's on the road to what God will complete in him on the day of Christ's return, Philippians 1:6. But he hasn't reached that yet. The end of that road and that reaching of that goal hasn't happened yet. He's heading there. See, Paul is admitting something that every one of us needs to admit. When we're looking at a passage like this, what we need to do is step back and say, okay, what is this passage saying to me? Well, what is it saying to you? Paul is admitting something that all of us need to admit. Because whether you're a believer or you're not a believer, perfection eludes you and me on this side of glory. Now, it's interesting that Paul would make that kind of revolutionary self-description that he hasn't reached perfection. Because he just got done talking about how he once put confidence in his perfection. He put confidence in his flesh, in himself, in what he looked like, in all the things that he did, in all the qualities that he carried that would have made you think that Paul was a perfect person. But he came to realize he wasn't. And that the only confidence that he could carry with himself was a confidence in Christ's righteousness. And that's the only confidence any of us can carry. That's what was pictured in the sacrament, was the righteousness of Christ. It's the only one that any of us can carry, is boasting not in ourselves, but in Christ. Don't put confidence in your righteousness to save you. Put your confidence in Christ's righteousness to save you. That's what the baptism is all about. But that lack of confidence now in his own perfection doesn't keep the Apostle Paul from heading down the road of perfection. Now, that might sound like a vain trip to men. But not when we see it from the apostles' perspective. When people become Christians, when they're believers in Christ, God puts each and every Christian on this spiritual pursuit of perfection. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at all throughout the days that we live here on this earth. It's necessary then to press forward. Paul's biggest reason for doing it is found in this statement. I press on to make this ultimate goal my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. This is why I'm on the road to perfection. I'm making it my goal to be perfect and to possess that because Christ possesses me. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Christian says that he belongs to Jesus Christ, the Savior, to be sure, but he's also the Lord of his life, as we've been talking about also, that part of the Christmas joy is that Christ is both Savior and Lord. A joy in his salvation, but then a joy to serve him. And given that he's been given a spiritual race to run, then it's a race where he cannot merely look back at what he has accomplished, nor look back at what he once was, nor find pride in what he once sought to find his confidence in. He can't rest in his laurels. He can't think he's arrived spiritually, though justified permanently and completely. And just because he's a year older and even a year wiser, and just because he's helped out with this or that, or just because he's given his time in service with all these different things, and he's had to endure all this, these different things where he's been, he's not finished with his race. Because his life's not finished. And as long as you're living, and as long as I'm living, we're not done with our races. Glory and perfection have yet to arrive. you're still in mid-course. And that's true for everybody. And as Christians, we're called then to press toward the goal God has established for us necessarily. We belong to Christ by justification, right? That we are made right with God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is accounted to us. But glorification is that road on which we're heading. As long as we live on this earth, that's where you're at. And as those who have yet to attain that perfection, we need to keep moving on that road. As we move towards it, as we live every new day, we can't quit. You cannot quit. It's necessary to move forward. And that necessity to press forward leads us to see that this pursuit is a heavenly pursuit. Every day, every year, we're being called upward in Christ. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's a heavenly pursuit. Every day, every year, you and I are being called upward by God in Christ Jesus when we're Christians. Every day, every single day, every new year, we hear the call to press forward to heavenly things. You get up in the morning, that's what you're hearing. That's what your life's supposed to be about. That's the course on which you find yourself. And to put it very simply, so that it doesn't get too flowery or too esoteric, we're being called to be better people every day. To live lives worthy of the gospel. Every single day is an opportunity, and it's designed for us to be progressing, increasing, moving forward, trending up. Every day is a day, as those who know justification, to live unto sanctification as we march to glorification. That's the Christian life. The upward calling is a heavenly pursuit. Paul would say that our citizenship is in heaven, if we kept on reading, where we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring a glorious change to us unto resurrection someday. Paul's concerned for those then who do not have that heavenly vision. Heavenly vision is the lofty aspiration. And when we don't have it, when we are mired in the earthly, then our imperfections show. And it is those times that we are setting our minds on earthly things, as the apostle would say. Earthly things are selfish things. They're disobedient things. They are when we glory in shameful things and we're proud of silly and stupid things that we do that we shouldn't do. And where people are opposed to the gospel and the cross of Jesus Christ. Those are earthly pursuits. The heavenly pursuit is destined, it's defined throughout the letter. It's a sacrificial way of life. It's a life where we consider others better than ourselves. It's a life where we're even willing to suffer for the sake of Christ. And so when we're heading down the spiritual road, pressing on, we're pressing to progress, to grow, to improve, to increase in our love for God and our love for one another. Now, don't get the wrong impression. The heavenly pursuit doesn't mean that we're of no earthly good, that you're just sitting there and you're stringing your harp and you're disconnected from the world around you. No, the heavenly pursuit doesn't mean that we're of no earthly good. Rather, in order to be of earthly good, we're heavenly minded. With the hope and the goal of the resurrection spurring us on, because we've got a reason to live, because God allows us to live eternally in Christ. And with our Savior Jesus Christ in mind, who's residing in heavenly places already for our sake and for our good, who's reigning over everything, not the evils that we see in the world, but the Christ who's righteous, who reigns, and who continues to do that for our good. And so if we're pressing on toward the heavenly goal, we're doing it as as justified people in Christ on the road to glory in a sanctified way. And we're doing that sacrificially, obediently, selflessly. We're doing it in a Christ-like way. So there's that heavenly pursuit. There's also the mature pursuit. Passage says that too, doesn't it? It says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let's hold true to what we've attained. See, the mature pursuit is not to think that one has already become perfectly mature. Because that's not it. That's not how the passage started. I'm not there. The mature pursuit is not to think that one has already become perfectly mature, but realizing that we're not. Because when we're immature, we think we are. We think we know it all. And that's not going to happen on this side of glory. You see, if we keep our imperfection in mind on the road to perfection, that's a sign of maturity. And that'll help us to keep a humble perspective. And it'll keep us from a pride that would otherwise temper our love and our zeal to pursue spiritual progress. See, the more we think about ourselves as imperfect, the less likely we'll show forth a pride that thinks that we are. Because pride oftentimes is what arises from a spirit that thinks that we're perfect. That we don't make mistakes. Other people do, but we don't. I've got it all together. Nobody else does. No, the mature recognize their own imperfection. And the more they remember that, the less likely they're going to show forth a pride that thinks that they are perfect. And the more likely we'll be willing then to listen to the call of God in Philippians to consider others in the church better than ourselves. Because mature Christians know they haven't reached full maturity. And then they'll be more tolerant of others who haven't reached that maturity either. And in the meantime, our passage would tell us, while we wait for God to further enlighten us in all ways, we can hold true to what we've already attained. Because it isn't like we haven't attained anything. But what have we attained? Well, what we've attained as Christians is the humble work of Christ for us. And the humble example of Christ for us. That's what we've attained. And then the common calling that we all have. To press forward in the future to make our manner of life to be more and more worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's a necessary pursuit of Christians. We can't just stop where we are. And it's also a heavenly and mature pursuit for everybody who knows and believes and rejoices that they belong to Christ. Oh, may such a pressing, such a straining, such a pursuit, such a goal be found in our hearts, be found among us all. We press forward together. Not only into a new year, but toward all the good God has promised to complete in us unto the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's take a moment to respond in prayer, shall we? Father, as we enter into a new year, we pray that we won't just stop and say, enough, quit. If we look back in our lives and say, this is it. No, we're in mid-course. We come to confess that you've justified us in Christ, that you put us on a road to glory. And in the meantime, Father, as we're on mid-course, we'll never get to that goal if we stop where we are and fail to live that sanctified life, that heavenly life, and that humbled life that is a Christ-like life. Sacrificed for us, who treated us better than himself, so that we might live and know glory one day. Father, we're not perfect now. And we come to recognize that. Not to despair that we aren't in Christ because of his righteousness, but only, Father, so that as we live the sanctified life, we might do so in a humility. To realize that perfection isn't ours yet. We aren't perfect people. And we need to live like that, believing that, knowing that glory still awaits, even though we also humbly admit that our righteousness is not of ourselves, but it is in Christ. So help us then on that road to glory, Father, to take joy in the justification that we have in Christ, but then to live all the more as we get up every single morning, realize we're on a course to glory. May we live it out, press forward, strain ahead, to glorify your great name and that of your Son by the blessing of your Spirit. May you hear us, we pray.